Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Hoping the $99 yearly Beehive membership or the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. This is our final program of the week. So Pigskin Pick'em coming up later on the day. Probably the first Tuesday edition of Pigskin Pick'em we've ever had, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there could have been another holiday scenario, but it doesn't ring a bell.
Early in the week.
It's
like
tough.
It.
Looking through it.
Yeah, it is. It is. We'll see what Rex Road has in store. He was the best of us this past week.
The best of us on Festivus.
Ooh, nice. A head coaching candidate of that we think the Tennessee Titans will be interested in. Is none other than Robert Saleh. We've talked about him a lot here on the show. There was an interesting piece that Nick Wagoner of ESPN.com, who covers the 49ers, put together on him that came out yesterday. And, Joe, you know, you're reading through it, and you basically the first part of it is about how, you know, Saleh gets let go by the Jets, and San Francisco immediately turned their attention to trying to get him back, right, as defensive coordinator. And, you know, Saleh, after he got fired by the Jets, was basically a consultant with the Packers. And then, you know, there were obviously a lot of interest in him, either via head coach or defensive coordinator. He makes the decision to go back to San Francisco and be a DC. And, you know, in this piece, the idea of him being a head coach in the NFL again comes up. And here's what Saleh said on that front, Joe. Quote, "Everyone wants to be at the top of their profession, and they want to succeed at that just to see how far they can go and what they can achieve. Is my desire to get to the top of the profession and hoist the Lombardi one day? Absolutely. Am I in a hurry? No. I love it here. The desire is there, but at the same time, it's not desperation." That was the quote that Robert Saleh had in this piece. And he goes on throughout the process to talk about, you know, challenges of being a head coach. And he said, you know, quote, "Being the head coach is lonely. Try not to be too invasive, but just being a helping hand when he needs me to be," referring to Kyle Shanahan in this piece. It's a really interesting kind of look behind the scenes, peel behind the curtain of Saleh in San Francisco. So, Joe, specifically on like his quote there of obviously wants to be a head coach, but he's not really in a hurry to do so. What do you think on that front? How popular of a candidate do you think Saleh will be this offseason? And is the Titans' job with Cam Ward playing the way he is right now in the cap space and all those things, is it attractive enough where somebody who says he's not in a hurry says, you know what, that's the job for me?
Yeah, these are all good questions. He can be selective, and maybe, like, I totally understand when you – did what he did with the Jets, then you go back to a functional organization that makes sense, that has stability, that wins, where he can do a very important job but not have to deal with all the crap that a head coach has to deal with. I get the, you know what, do I really want to jump right back into that? I think we saw like Ben Johnson, not the same situation, he's never been a head coach, but couple years ago, he's like, you know what? No thanks, Commanders. I'm good. Yep. And he waited, and he got Caleb Williams and the Bears. It looks like it's a pretty good decision by him. So, yeah, I think it's – I'm not surprised to hear something like that from him, and I think it's a good reminder of how it won't necessarily be easy just because you have an opening to lure him. Now, some Titans fans I'm higher on him than I know than some Titans fans – as a possibility, but that's the huge question, is what does he think of this particular job? You know, what does he think of Cam Ward? What does he think of the front office? He has dealt with bad ownership, very bad ownership. There's no sugarcoating how Titans ownership looks to the rest of the league right now. So that's probably the biggest deterrent, along with if he doesn't really believe in Cam Ward. Yep. Or has serious reservations about Cam Ward.
Well, he talked about his time with the Jets, you know, briefly in this piece too. And, you know, the majority of the conversation, Joe, was kind of focused in on how the Jets have done in the aftermath of letting him go and the dysfunction that's in there. And there's another coach around the league that said, quote, "It showed what Saleh had to overcome and that it wasn't easy. But here's what Saleh had to say on, you know, being fired from the Jets. Says, quote, "We didn't do a good enough job, and the owner decided it was time to move on, so it is what it is. That's where I've got to look inward, see what we could have done better, and those are things that I've been trying to learn from, those experiences, so that if the opportunity presents itself again, I'll be more prepared." So, I mean, he didn't go into great detail there about, like, you know, taking shots at Jets ownership or anything. But I think if you've got, you know, a pair of eyeballs, you can see Jets ownership hadn't gone very well, and it seemed to run into problems at every turn at that place. So, with a place like here in Nashville, with ownership that has been in the headlines as much as this one has over the last couple of years, is that a non-starter for a guy like Saleh? I mean, he's not gonna talk about that right now on the record, but I'd love to know deep down if it feels that way.
Yeah, that's a great question. If not a non-starter, maybe at least a, okay, hear him out, but I'm very skeptical.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised. So if you go through the other jobs and just think about it in terms of owner and quarterback, so potentially Atlanta, and you know,
cheap concessions.
I don't know that. What's that?
Cheap concessions.
Yeah, that's true. But no Chick-fil-A on Sundays. The Giants, we've talked about that with him. It's like, okay, you may be excited about Jackson Dart, who completed one pass last week or whatever. But going back to New York, that seems like a tough sell.
Yep.
Cincinnati, to me, would be a very coveted job.
Yep.
I understand that Joe Burrow.
The ownership part of that may not be
great. Yeah, cheap, but not like – but at least like it's like we know what they are. Like they're not erratic though, right? So and then obviously Burrow, and I understand stuff Burrow said, but like I'd roll the dice and think he's gonna keep playing.
Yep.
And that you can get him excited about, okay, come on, I'm your new coach and let's go. You know? I mean I know that they say Miami is safe, you know, McDaniel's safe, but I still have my doubts. But that's the thing. They're starting over at quarterback, and also their owner is, I would say, on the low end in this league.
Well, let me ask you this. What I don't know where or if Saleh would even factor into this, but there is, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, there is some noise right now on the John Harbaugh front. So what if the Ravens move on from him? You know, obviously the first reaction to that would be, okay, well, where does John Harbaugh end up? But what do the Ravens do if they decide that it's time to move on from John Harbaugh? Like, which way are you going there if you're Baltimore? Because I would assume, you know, with Lamar Jackson in the roster that they have, that'd be a pretty darn attractive job.
Yes, except every year that they don't get to the Super Bowl without him, there's the, okay, is this actually going to work all the way? And then the injury thing is got to be a growing concern.
Yeah.
With him. But you talk about a stable organization, you talk about ownership and an organization that has a certain, I mean, very much like Pittsburgh to me, just has a certain standard and a stability and a way of treating people. I think that job would be, that job would be incredibly attractive. And of course, John Harbaugh would immediately be coveted. I know Michigan fans are dreaming of, ooh, let's get the other Harbaugh. But that's not going to happen. He'll be an NFL coach somewhere else quickly if that divorce ends up happening.
Yeah, I have no idea where Saleh ranks on the list here for in terms of Titans and the interviews that they're going to go through. I would imagine he's at least on it and that they're going to talk to him. But I am very interested to see league-wide what sort of interest he has. Because, again, like, you know, I think last night's a good example, right? Like, it wasn't like San Francisco's defense came out there last night and totally shut down Phillip Rivers and the Colts. They don't have a very good pass rush. They have been decimated to some degree by injury. And yet here they are, as you said, Joe, earlier in the show, potentially going to end up with a one seed in the NFC West.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, like last night you're watching that, and that's just an offensively dominant performance. But they have had some other weeks, especially when Purdy was hurt and stuff, where I think what Saleh did and got his defense to do kept things going during that time period. It was awfully important, awfully impressive. But, yeah, I would not be surprised at all if he ends up just skipping this cycle. You know, if he can't get one of those primo job again, like to me, Cincinnati would be one of those. Baltimore would be one of those, and just waiting out the cycle and just waiting until he has a perfect opportunity. But yeah, and it's also he's been right there at the top of my list through all this. I just think he's really good. I think he's going to be a successful head coach, but I don't know that the Titans feel that way at all.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the search for the next head coach. All that coming up next. The Game Nashville Sports Network, your home for college football bowl games, presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Today on 94.9 The Fan, catch the New Orleans Bowl as Western Kentucky takes on Southern Miss at 5 o'clock. And tonight on Sports Talk 830, UNLV taking on Ohio in the Frisco Bowl at 8 o'clock. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowlgames. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. I got some passes to give away, a pair of passes that give you access to a special area in the Jack Daniels tent behind the stage at the Jack Daniels New Year's Eve Live, Nashville's Big Bash at the Bicentennial Capitol Mall State Park. Coming up on Wednesday, December 31st, the area includes a heated tent, light food, and a cash bar, as well as special access to stage viewing. Performers include Lainey Wilson, Jason Aldean, Bailey Zimmerman, and a whole lot more. Counting down to midnight with live music, fireworks, and the signature note drop coming up at midnight as well. You can win a pair of these passes by being caller number 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of those passes, and we wish you good luck heading downtown once you win. We will have Pigskin Pick'em coming up here at 8:30. Taking your thoughts on the Titans coaching search, 615-737-1025. Joe, one texter says, whoever comes in needs to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with the ownership to make sure they have autonomy and funding to build the team. Without that, no one should take the job. I doubt that's going to happen. Like, I doubt that they, like Robert Saleh is going to look at Amy Adams Strunk and be like, hey, you have to promise me that you're going to completely stay out of this or I'm not taking this job. I doubt it goes that way, but I understand the thought process.
Yeah, I think the realistic assurance that you can try to get there, look, you have to believe in the front office when you talk to them and when you talk to other people about them, and believe that they have a good system in place for building a roster, and then you have to feel good about them having autonomy and understand that there's plenty of not a ton, but there are several owners in this league who have been problematic in different ways and who have seemed to undercut the possible success of their franchises. I do look at Carolina, and I know it's not like they're Super Bowl bound, but they've kind of figured it out. You know, Bryce Young kind of figuring it out, but you haven't heard anything from their owner in a while. He seems to have figured out, you know what, I'm just going to shut up.
Yep.
Let you guys do your jobs, and let's see it. And I think that's what people coming in here want to hear. Are you guys allowed to do your jobs? And then, of course, do I believe these guys can do them well? And if that's the case and you think Cam Ward can be a good quarterback, then I think you're going to be interested.
Yeah, I think so too. Caleb on the text line asking us who we would rather have between Matt Nagy or Robert Saleh. It's a good question. Like, I think, Joe, your answer would be Saleh. He's been your number one guy for a while. For me, you know, I think it just depends on what you want. Like, again, Nagy did a better job than I think people think he did with the Bears when you go back and look at what he was dealing with there. Saleh, the record's not good. But he also was with the Jets. So, like, how much of a Jets tax do you put on it? I guess what I'm saying is, to me, it's pretty close. Like, I would be okay, I think, with either one of those guys. I wouldn't say that either one of those guys overly excite me if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah, my answer, Caleb, and Merry Christmas to you as well, is Saleh. Just because I just think that he has – I think he can be a Vrabel-like coach, and some people may not like to hear that, but I mean, come on, the guy can rally a team together. I'm not saying it's the exact same guy, but I do think Saleh has some of those traits, and I think the Jets, we've already talked about the owner a lot, but Also, the Aaron Rodgers aspect of that and everything that went on with that and bringing his guys in and then the injury and there's just so many things that happen. And maybe more of it is Saleh's fault than I'm giving credit for, and it's not going to work out for him because he gets distracted by stuff that doesn't matter. But I just think that there's upside there for him to be a really good coach like that. And I'm not down on Nagy. I think it would be a fine hire. Obviously, then you would have your play calling head coach situation. You wouldn't have to worry about the OC thing as much. But I think Saleh is going to land somewhere and be good.
Yeah, I mean, I said it last week when we were talking about these coaches. Some of these guys that have been head coaches before are going to get to their next stop, their second chance, if you will, and they're going to really do well, right? Like they, you know, a couple of these guys, I'm sure, will go on to their next stop and they'll do well, and it'll be a great hire. And then there are probably going to be a couple more, Joe, whether that's Nagy, whether that's Saleh, whoever. I mean, throw whoever you want on this list that has been a head coach before, that get to their second stop, and it becomes pretty clear that they're just better off being a coordinator, right? I mean, we see that. There are plenty of guys in this league who are really good coordinators who are just not cut out to be the head coach. And, you know, what I'm worried about in this process is we keep talking about all these guys who have been head coaches before, and I would agree for the most part that I want people that have been a head coach before coming in based on how bad it was with the last time you tried this process without that. But there's inevitably, Joe, going to be one of these guys that they hire or that somebody hires, whether that's Cliff Kingsbury, Arthur Smith, whoever. I mean, keep going down the list, that is just better off being a coordinator and is not cut out to be a head coach in the league. And my fear is that the Titans are going to end up with the one that is like the clearly cut out to be a coordinator and not a head coach.
Yeah, could be. Then there's like the D-line coach who gets the head coaching job for some freaking reason, like Rod Marinelli, for example, who never should have been a D coordinator, let alone a head coach. But that's, the dysfunctional franchise that we like to poke fun at a lot on this program. But yeah, that is. And like Saleh may be just perfect for DC. That's the perfect amount of, like people to be in charge of, and he can lock in on one side of the ball and just be a great DC his whole career. And this the all this again, there's just so much more external stuff that comes with being a head coach. And maybe some of that stuff is maybe that some of that stuff tripped up Brian Callahan. Yeah, I think Brian Callahan definitely was at times worried about the wrong things when he was a head coach. So it's a huge challenge to some people can handle it no problem. And some people, it's just like that, the coordinator is the perfect amount of responsibility, and it's worth just doing that really well, still getting paid really well, and not having to deal with all the BS.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like examples off the top of my head of people that are clearly cut out to be a coordinator. I mean, Josh McDaniels got to be at top of that list, right? Like he's
Yeah.
pretty darn good offensive coordinator. And then the moment you hire him to be a head coach, it just completely falls apart.
Yeah. No, and the thing is, this has actually been a great year for him because yes, Drake May is a tremendous talent, but there's been a lot of yeah, Brady carried him, right? With which didn't really make sense. I mean, if you really watched the Patriots back then, it was clear that McDaniels was a good OC. But yes, once he gets into all the whatever the head coach stuff, all of a sudden, like everybody in the locker room hates him. I mean, I don't know how that happened, but that's what happened multiple times. And it seems like the guys on the Patriots offense are doing just fine with him. And obviously, May's doing fine. He's really good. This is, I think, really rehabilitated him. But like, I think
But would you hire him as
anybody,
a head coach? Because I
no.
wouldn't.
And that's the funny thing is like, will there be an owner out there who's like, well, gosh, why the heck wouldn't we want to? He could call our plays. But it's like, no, just let him be an OC. That's what he is.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Brian to the program. Brian, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, boys. First of all, Robbie, may I say to you, bear down, Chicago Bears.
Thanks.
May every play clear the way to victory.
There we go.
Yes, I'm not going to sit here and brag about how well the Bears played because for three and a half quarters, they played like crap. So, hey, man, this is one of the best divisional matchups in the North I've seen in a long time.
Probably see it
Even
again here in a
Detroit,
couple weeks.
yeah, I know. Even Detroit is the way that game ended was certainly kind of questionable, to say the least. But the purpose of my call, man, I've heard you guys discuss the Titan search for a couple of weeks, and I want to put my hat a name or take a name out of the hat. That would be Matt Nagy. Yes, he did have success the first season with the Bears, but if you bring in Matt Nagy to this organization, you're going to be bringing in Brian Callahan 2.0. And the reason I say that, Matt Nagy, true enough, did some great play calling, but he did nothing to help the development of Mitchell Trubisky. And it's not so much that it was his fault that Trubisky didn't work out, but he was not a developer of the quarterback, is what you need with Cam Ward. And also, to me, the biggest reason you don't, he was horrible at game management, man. Timeouts he didn't make or sticking to his game plan and not adjusting. When they would get down, he was still trying to throw the ball or pass. Just whatever you were supposed to do in that situation, he was not doing. And I would hate for the Titans organization, for the strides they seem to be making over these last couple of weeks, to bring in a guy like Matt Nagy to set them back. Because, he is a good play caller, but he is not a good overall coach. But that's all I got, man. Always enjoy the show, fellas, man. I hope y'all have a great rest of the year. I'll be listening, and y'all take care.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate the call.
Thanks a lot.
Like he said, I don't know that there's a candidate out there, Joe, that I would be like, yes, home run hire, right? Like, I don't know that candidate exists. There are candidates that I like, I like Mike McCarthy. I'm fine with Sala. I'm fine with Nagy. But I don't know that the candidate exists this year, Joe, where I would be like, man, the Titans just knocked it out of the park with that coaching hire. Unless, John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin snuck through and got available.
Right. No, I mean, there's nobody like that. And I would say, it's an interesting point on Trubisky. I guess I don't – is Trubisky an example of bad development, or was he not good enough? I would tend to believe he just wasn't good enough and that's not Nagy's fault. But I guess it's a little bit of a chicken and egg argument.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up next. And, competition tightening up. Pun intended, heading into the final few weeks of the year. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rexroy, 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rexroy on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on 102.5 The Game. A standings update in the competition. Rexroy 4-2 last week with his lock. And luckily for Rexroy, he made picks a day before the actual competition last weekend. A couple of the spreads changed during the process, but luckily for him, it didn't matter because all of his picks mattered.
You guys changed that. I went back and listened, and you said, you get the 3.5. You had it at 3. We're putting it at 3.5.
We changed, I think, one of them. We left the other one the same. But it didn't matter. You won both of them.
Yeah, neither of them mattered anyway.
I'm just pointing it out.
Don't shame me.
I'm not shaming you. I'm just pointing things out, pointing out the facts.
Accuracy.
That's what we're here. That's what we're here for. Rexroy 4-2 with his lock last week. Ian 2-4 with his lock as well. I am 2-4, no lock. Not good for me last week. The overall standings. I am in first place, 52-50 overall, 7-10 on my locks, 59 points. Rexroy just 3 back now, 46-56 overall, 10-7 on his locks, 56 points. Ian, 48-54 overall, 7-10 on his locks, 55 points. So all of us separated by a combined 4 points in the composition as we are approaching crunch time here in Pigskin Pick'em. We begin with the Saints and the Titans coming up this weekend. The Saints are a 3-point favorite in what all of a sudden has turned into an intriguing matchup in the National Football League. Joe, Titans are playing better football. I'm going with the Saints. I'll take the Saints to win by 4 in this matchup. Get me the New Orleans Saints to cover the 3-point spread. Joe Rexroy, you're up next in the competition.
Hey, I mean, I've rarely picked the Titans this year. I think when I have, it's certainly backfired. Boy, it's been very rare. But last week I just felt it. And, obviously it's kind of easy when the Chiefs, what happens to the Chiefs, happen to the Chiefs. Saints are playing very well, but I'm going with the home team. I think the Titans win a close game.
There we go. That'd be a winning streak for the Titans. My goodness. Ian, the Saints and the Titans. Saints favored by 3.
Yeah, I'm disappointed I didn't take the Titans last week over the Chiefs. You know, we kind of talked it over with Kuharski. And
he was a bad influence.
And still went with the Chiefs. But, yeah. I don't know. Both of these teams are used to playing games that don't matter. So that doesn't quite work in the Titans' favor this week.
True.
The Saints have been playing better. Their defense is actually not terrible. I think I'm actually going to take the Saints.
Going with the Saints in the matchup. Rex Rode, the lone representative again for the Tennessee Titans. He's got belief.
If I win this competition, I'm going to have to – maybe I'll answer one of those calls that the Titans make 8 times a day to me about tickets in the new stadium.
You have to send a gift basket to Mike McCoy.
There we go.
Yeah, thanks, Berserker.
There we go. Tennessee and Illinois coming up in the Music City Bowl. Joe, this actually is next week, but by the time we do this competition again, the game will have already happened. So we will go Tennessee and Illinois. The Vols a 2.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Rex Rode, you're up first.
Yeah, bowl games, and I've after the South Florida debacle, I'm like, you know what? I'm not messing with bowl games anymore. I can't keep up with who's playing, who's not playing, who cares, who doesn't care. But I think Tennessee will have more fans. I think Tennessee is a better football team, and I'm going to go ahead and take Tennessee and give those points. 2.5, right?
2.5.
Yep.
Ian Safar, Tennessee and Illinois. Who we got?
Yeah, I'll go Tennessee just based on the regional factor. Although there will be some Illinois fans here because there's so many.
There will be.
You know, we talked about it during the basketball tournament, I guess, a couple weeks ago. There was a fair amount of fans. There's a bunch of Chicago people around. Corey Curtis will be there.
Yep.
I don't know that for sure. I was just making that up.
I'm sure he will.
But, yeah, I also think I am going to take Tennessee. Field goal seems doable.
Give me Illinois. It's the Music City Bowl. I've seen some weird crap happen in Tennessee in the Music City Bowl over the years. So I'll go Illinois plus the 2.5 in this matchup. Don't feel good. Don't feel good about it.
HTR today.
I know. We move to the individual portion of the program. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Man, this is some, you know, the college games and the bowls, so I'm pretty much going all NFL here. And so early in the week, it's tough. Give me a bounce. I'll just go ahead and get my lock out of the way here just to get it down. Based off of last night, give me the Jags. -6.5 versus the Colts. The way Jacksonville's been playing, I don't know, it's a divisional game, so it's risky to lock it. But I think they can win by a touchdown.
Give me the New England Patriots -12.5 against the Jets and make it my lock. The Jets are absolute cheeks. They can't stop anybody. And Drake May is really good. I'll take the Patriots -12.5 against the New York Jets. Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection.
Yep, I like both of those. They're both in consideration. But give me, you know, Steelers at Browns. Browns are +4.5. I understand that DK Metcalf, and he may get a game back, but he's not getting this game back. But I like how Steelers running the football right now, and I think they're going to absolutely thump them, and you can make that one my lock.
Guarantee.
Steelers -4.5 against the Browns coming up in a critical battle in the AFC North. Give me Western Kentucky +1.5 against Southern Miss. That game is today.
More bowl game action.
Give me some bowl games. Western Kentucky +1.5. They will win outright in this game against Southern Miss. Joe Rexrode, your second individual selection.
Wow, getting into the bowl scene. Okay, give me another pretty good team playing a really bad team. We got the Battle of Florida. You got Bucks at Dolphins. Dolphins are +5.5. I will take the Bucks all day on that one.
Going with the Bucks, who have been struggling lately, but playing the Dolphins. Bucks -5.5 against the Dolphins. Insofar, your second individual selection.
I wrote that one down too, but I just do not feel good about it. Tampa has just been so disappointing lately.
They have.
But Miami stinks. I'm going for a bounce back on this game and maybe some recency bias. Thursday, I believe it's Thursday night game. Denver is on the road at Kansas City, 12.5. I think they can win. Denver -12.5 at Kansas City Thursday night.
One minus the 12.5 against the Kansas City Chiefs, who, whew,
I don't know who's bad. I guess that guy's playing quarterback.
Yeah, give me Chris Oladokun out there playing some quarterback again for the Chiefs.
We go.
We'll see how that goes against that defense. Joe Rexrode, your third individual selection.
Okay. Look, I watched them last night. I understand that it's a magical season for the Bears, but Bears at Niners, Niners minus 2.5. Niners are going to win that football game. Niners might get the one seed. Give me the Niners minus the 2.5.
One. San Francisco minus 2.5 against the Bears. Ian, your third individual selection.
Yeah, I don't feel great about this one, too, but I think they're playing better, and maybe this kind of other team has kind of come back to earth. Give me the Bengals minus 7 at home versus Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona's pretty bad.
I mean, their offense has been okay. Brissett has been a decent story. They've been putting up some numbers, but I don't know. Cincy kind of feels like Joe Burrow's kind of turned it back on after that weird week. Yep. Give me Cincy at home minus 7 versus Arizona.
There we go. Give me the Minnesota Vikings plus 5.5. Against the Lions. This is a total bet with my heart. I need the Lions
to lose. I had
to stay
away from this one. No clue.
Give me Minnesota plus the 5.5 and to win outright against the Detroit Lions.
That's it.
Thus ending
Dunzo.
Their playoff hopes, which I'm sure Rexrode would be very upset by. Ian, kick us off with your final individual selection.
Some of these other games, I mean, there's some other good games. Houston, Chargers, both teams playing very well. Chargers minus 1.5. I got no clue on that game. That one's very tough. I couldn't pick that game. Seattle going to at Carolina, very interesting game. I had trouble on this one. Eagles, Bills, also interesting game. Couple of games this week that I thought were pretty good that I had, you know, trouble kind of pinpointing in some key spots. So I actually think I wrote it down. I think I'm going to piggyback off of Robbie. Give me the Patriots minus 12.5 to cover versus the Jets.
Patriots minus the 12.5 against the Jets. Joe Rexrode, your final individual selection.
Well, I'm piggybacking too, because Jags Colts is just too good to not go with. So give me the Jags minus the 6.5.
What kind of a loser would I be if I didn't pick the Pop-Tarts Bowl? So that's what I'm going to do. Give me Georgia Tech plus the 4.5 against BYU in the Pop-Tart Bowl. Coming
like
up
that.
On Saturday,
like
I'll take
that.
The Yellow Jackets to cover the 4.5 point spread, and all the Pop-Tarts will be involved down there in Orlando.
Honestly, I don't know how our show could have gone on if we didn't have somebody pick the Pop-Tart Bowl. Thank
I'm kind of disappointed
saving.
That you two
you
didn't.
Saved the program.
I know. I mean, that's Good the job. Greatest bowl game on earth. It should be a part of the college football playoff.
We just need a tournament so that the Duke's Mayo winner and the Pop-Tart winner meet each other. Then someone has to eat like a combination of mayo and a Pop-Tart.
Yeah, what flavored Pop-Tart would be the best to dip in mayo?
That's an interesting question.
Yep,
maybe cinnamon.
A little brown sugar cinnamon.
That makes
Pop-Tart
sense. Yeah, the brown sugar. Yeah.
Now, I don't know about fruit. I don't know about the fruity ones in mayo. Does that sound
stay
like
away
a
from
good
the cherry
combo?
Flavor?
Yeah
or chocolate.
So.
Maybe the chocolate.
All right. Hot Fudge Sunday.
It mail. All sounds very disgusting.
615-737-1025, our phone number. One more segment, mercifully, remaining in our show. Robbie and Rexrode, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rexrode, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone to text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Chris in Nashville, a vote for unfrosted blueberry as the flavor to dip in the mayo. And Jess wants to thank Rexrode for making her almost throw up on that conversation we just ended with.
I apologize, but that sounds, I mean, honestly, yeah, blueberry sounds awful.
Not good.
Unfrosted, huh? I wonder unfrosted. If we get unfrosted, that the better way to go about it?
Might be.
Attacking the mayo?
Yep.
Yeah, probably. You probably don't want frosting and mayo mixed. Yeah.
Joe, did you see the news from Kansas City? The Chiefs are moving to the state of Kansas, I guess. And beginning with the 2031 NFL season, they're working on building a new stadium, a dome stadium, which means Arrowhead will be a thing of the past, no longer the home of the Kansas City Chiefs following the 2030 season. Joe, your thoughts on what is now Arrowhead Stadium coming to an end here in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I really hate it, because I think that's a place just like Lambeau that shouldn't be messed with. There aren't that many places like that in the NFL. They're have been more like in baseball, and don't even get me started on Tiger Stadium, which should still be standing. But yeah, I hate the idea of Arrowhead going. That's a totally unique place. And like, I get it. There are fans There are fans in northern cities who look around and say, "Gosh, it looks so nice to just sit in the warmth, in that stadium. Why can't we have that?" But man, you also have a home field advantage when you have that. And look at the Bears. The Bears, of course, we know they've been trying to figure out this thing, and now they're looking at Northwest Indiana.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Indiana Bears.
Whoever will give them the most public money is where they will go.
Yeah. So,
and that is now the new record, the Chiefs.
Yep.
Like, it's absolutely, to me, for people who don't know, like, Kansas City is on the border of Kansas, Missouri, right?
That is true.
But if you know Chicago well, like, to have a stadium, I suppose maybe it's not that much of a drive, more of a drive than some of the real northern suburbs, but man, it's a ways. And I just think that's absolute insanity. I don't know what the heck Kevin Warren's doing over there, but yeah, you hate to see stuff like that because places like that, I mean, Soldier Field is one of them. Now, they already made it weird. It looked like they attached a spaceship to it a few years ago. So, but still, where it is on Lakeshore, on the lake, I mean, I hate that those things would change.
I mean, I'm thinking of the northern cities. You know, Cleveland, obviously, get a lot of snow there. Buffalo's building a new stadium that's not a dome. It's like it's got that stuff, the canopy over the top that's going to cover from snowfall.
But they were going to. Yeah. They were definitely talking about a full-on dome, and I'm glad they're not.
Like, Lambeau's going to be the last one left at some point. There's no way they'll ever change that because I think the franchise would riot. But it's going to be the last one at some point.
Yeah. And the Lions, it's just a soft franchise. They went to a dome in like 1975. I mean,
Minnesota.
That totally goes along with their lack of winning, which, by the way, I was in a room with about 30 Lions fans the other day losing their minds. And I'm like, guys, have you learned nothing? Like, this is what's going to happen. They're going to fail. It's going to disappoint you. Like, I don't know what to tell you anymore. But I guess you could say the same thing about the Vikings. They've had the Metrodome. They started with the Metrodome.
Yeah.
What, late 70s probably?
Yeah. I mean, they've been inside for a long time.
Hang in there, Packers. Hang in there. You're the last one.
Been inside for a long time.
And when those teams come visit you in December games, that should benefit you.
That's right. Joe, big test for the Preds tonight. We mentioned earlier in the program, they've won 9 of their last 13 games. They're playing some good hockey. They are creeping closer to the wild card spots in the playoff race. Problem is, so is just about every other team in the Western Conference. They're also only 2 points away from being the bottom team in the Western Conference. A tough one tonight as they take on the Minnesota Wild, who have been rejuvenated here with Quinn Hughes joining the team. They were already really good without him, and now you add Quinn Hughes, who basically plays like 30 minutes a night for him, and that's pretty good. So the big test for the Predators, we'll find out a lot about them tonight in terms of, they've played against Colorado a couple times. They beat Colorado at home here in a shootout. They went on the road, and it didn't go overly great for them in that game. On the road against Minnesota, a very tough challenge for the Nashville Predators tonight.
Yes, the very intriguing now Minnesota Wild, John Hines.
Johnny Hines?
Yeah, man. Who's got himself a chance here after that trade. So going to be very interesting and definitely a good test for the Preds as they try to see where they stand a little bit. They have been able to be very competitive, for stretches with Colorado, beat them once. So this could be a good test and another step along the way of them rising to buyer status.
Well, by the way,
just kidding.
7-game road trip starting for the Preds. So, it's softened a little bit because they play tonight and then they've got a Christmas break. So I'm sure they're coming back home after the game tonight. They'll be off the next few days and then they're in St. Louis after that. But you go Minnesota, St. Louis, Utah, Vegas to close out the 2025 portion of the schedule. And then you're still on the road after that. You're in Seattle. I mean, it's a long trip. They're not home again until January the 8th, Joe. So it's get used to life on the road.
Yeah, no, that's a long time. They talk about these trips like bonding experiences, so maybe they'll even start to play better and really, really catch fire in the situation. By the time they come home, maybe they'll be in a spot where that advantage in the building will be a little bit enhanced. And if you've got Nick Saban down there waving a towel, slamming a beer when the when he gets on the big screen, even better.
Brunette could be, you know, leading the charge for the Jack Adams at that point. What a turnaround that'd be.
Hey, if this team like comfortably makes the playoffs, then I actually think he should be a contender.
I agree. I don't think that they're going to comfortably make the playoffs, but
no.
If that were to play out that way, then I would agree. He should be in the mix. Like, I'm just – every time I look at these standings, I'm like, when is – like, is Colorado going to get to double-digit regular season, like, regulation losses at any point this year? They're 26-2-7. Are they going to hit 10 regulation losses by the time the year's over with?
No, it's absolutely ridiculous, and it's ridiculous that I'm in a house where I have to see a bunch of glasses that look like this. Just making it that much worse.
Well, that's going to do it for us today and do it for us this week on the program. Joe, Merry Christmas to you and yours. We will see you next week, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you guys and your families and everyone out there. Thanks for listening. Very much appreciate you.
Have a great week, everyone.
Yep, hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their week. Hope you have a very Merry Christmas. We'll be back coming up next Monday. We got a lot of things to discuss coming back. It'll be bowl games for Tennessee and Vanderbilt next week. Titans back in action this weekend, so we'll have you covered on that throughout the rest of the shows here today and next week as well. Merry Christmas, everyone. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.